there till mid-September, late September. So we have a bunch of boxes we need to get out of in our lives. What do you think about when you think about a box? I think all week long of different boxes in my life. When I associate with people throughout the week and relationships with them, I think about boxes they're in that they have no idea about. What kind of box do you need out of? And this week I was thinking about receiving a box, like a gift. How excited we are to see what's inside of that box. How much expectation we have of what could be in the box. Do you remember as a child maybe, awaiting Christmas Day? For us it was always a big family shindig. You had gifts from aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas when we had the big family Christmas. So you had a lot of gifts, but as a kid you always looked at the biggest one first and had the most expectation of the biggest gift being the best. Though it wasn't always. But in your mind you had played up the bigger box is the better gift, right? Is that what you guys do? Some of you? And I thought, you know, we get so excited about what's in this box. But sometimes what's outside of the box is so much larger. There's so much more to be offered outside of the box. We're so focused on what's in the box, we lose sight of everything else. We forget about what else is offered to us without having to be a gift or a present. There's so much more to offer. And sometimes we're not even excited about that. We just think about what we don't have or what we could have but can't obtain or don't think we can obtain, rather than thinking about what God has in store for us, all that is around us. In Sunday school this morning, we watched a great video. If you weren't here for Sunday school, you just missed out. But the gentleman, it was on the screen, it was a video John had set up for us. And it was talking about planet Earth in comparison to the sun and the stars, and how if Earth was a golf ball, the sun would be 15 feet in diameter, which is huge. And anyways, he got way out to the furthest and largest star. They nicknamed it the Big Dog. And how great and large this star is, as tall as Mount Everest and as wide and big around. It's over 6 miles in diameter in every direction, if the Earth is compared to the size of a golf ball. So you think about how small and insignificant Earth is that we think so much about. God has so much more to offer us, so much more out there that He's created that we cannot even fathom or obtain in our imagination. What is heaven going to be like? That's just what we can reach and look at with the Hubble telescope and realize that's out there. How much greater is the galaxy? Are there other galaxies outside? Are we a speck in a spectrum of what God has created? I believe so. And I believe heaven that He's created for us is much greater than even that. When you're thanking God, when you're thanking life, don't think small. Think big. He also said the DNA in our bodies, if you stretched it out in a readable form and magnified it so you could read it, it would stretch from here to the moon and back. I believe he said 3,000 times. It was a ton for one human being. Your DNA stretched out to be readable would go to the moon and back thousands of times. That's incredible. And yet we are just not even a speck of a piece of the largest star that we know of. Not that God knows of that He created, but we know of. So think much bigger today. Today we're going to talk about expect the unexpected. You have expectations that you think you can achieve, that you think you can do, and you also have expectations that that'll never be me. I'll never be able to do that. I'll never be able to accomplish that. But a good job for Pastor Kelly. He can do that. Sometimes we limit ourselves, and God says, I have so much in store for you. It's unbelievable. So think what you can't think. Believe what you can't believe. Expect what you don't expect. Okay? We're going to open in a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump into the message. Father, we just thank you today, Lord God. Father, for your word. God, just for your greatness. God, that you would choose us. God, human beings to be made in your image. God, your likeness. God, to be called your sons and daughters. God, to have the opportunity to serve you in your kingdom. God, we thank you for that. And God, as we listen to your word today, God, your instruction for our lives, God, we ask you to open our hearts and minds. God, that we would receive it unto ourselves, God, as living water. God, that you are pouring out unto us. God, to refresh us, to strengthen us, to enable us, God, to go forth and do what you've called us to do. God, I yield myself to you today. God, use my mind, Father, my tongue, my words, God. Father, to bring life from your word to the hearers today, Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. What do you expect out of life? What are your expectations? Well, I just want to have a good job that I can have a little bit of retirement and be able to retire and spend the last few years of my life not working, and hopefully my kids still come around and see me, and then I'll die and go to heaven. That's a good dream, but I'm not sure that's God's dream for all of us. I think he wants us to live much more than that. He has much higher expectations for us, that we can enjoy in his blessing, that we can share in his inheritance. Most of it's going to be on the other side of death. But here in life, God wants us to enjoy. God wants us to experience. As a youth pastor, several years ago, I had this young person. One of their expectations and goals in life was to move to Oregon because they had a better welfare system. That was her highest expectation of life. She thought that was, coming in. And luckily, this young person was in my youth group for several years, talked with them, mentored them, ministered to them, showed them God has a much bigger picture for you. Today, this person's holding down a job, has their own place, has aspirations of moving on to college, getting a greater education so she can do something more with her life. How many people around you have low expectations of their lives that are waiting for a breath of life to be breathed into them? They're waiting to hear that there is something better out there. They're waiting to know that someone cares enough to tell them the truth of God and his love, his mercy, and his blessing that he has in store for them. They're just waiting. You and I are that person. Not only us, but those gathered at Wilderness Gateway, the other churches in the valley, churches around the world. But you and I have our part to play. Be ready to pass on the expectations that are written in the Word of God. Have them ready on your tongue. Sharpen your mind. You know, God wants something better for you. That isn't what God's Word says about your situation. God's Word says you can be an overcomer. God's Word says you can live with blessing and prosperity. God's Word says, apply it to a situation in your life. What's going on right now that your expectations you now realize are low? What does God's Word say about it? We just sang the song, Nothing is Impossible for God. You need to get that fastened in here as a permanent mark in your mind. Nothing is impossible with God. All things are possible. We serve Him, we love Him, and nothing is impossible. What don't you expect out of life? What are some things you don't expect? Well, I'm a Shown, and the Shouns have never been able to do that. So I'm just, that's not me. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to be able to do that. Do you set up yourself for not expecting certain things? Have you ever talked to someone that said, well, that I can't ever do that. I won't ever be in a position to do that. Have you guys ever talked to someone like that? I've heard lots of people say it. I will never be, boy, that would sure be a fun trip, but I'd never be able to take it. Boy, that would sure be a fun occupation, but I would never be able to do that. Boy, I'd love to have a wife and kids, a husband and kids, a family, but I'll never be able to do that. I met with a young couple this week, and one of them was thinking that way, just, I'll never be able to. It won't work. It's like, well, you have a pretty good start here. Change your mindset. Change your expectations. We're going to look at a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I didn't tell Pat I was in the NIV, so if it doesn't match up with what... Oh, she's there. She knows me. Awesome. The New Inspired Version. North Idaho Version. New International Version, whatever you want to call it. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. However, as it is written, that's speaking of back in Isaiah, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Think of your best life you can absolutely imagine in your brain right now. Your highest hopes, your highest dreams and ambitions. God has something a million times better in store for you. His Word just declared it to us. Your eye has not seen, your ear has not heard, your mind has not fathomed all that God has in store for you. Start dreaming bigger. Start thinking bigger. Start expecting bigger and greater results. Because that's what God has in store for you. Most of the time I find in my life that God is limited by me and my unbelief. And God, I can't do that. God, I'm not going to be able to. And I start saying, well, God, you're not doing it. He said, well, you don't believe you can do it. I believe if you want to become a millionaire, God has placed inside of you the wisdom, the talent, and the ability to go do that. I'm not sure He's called all of us to do that. But I believe with all my heart that God has placed it inside of each and every one of us to have those abilities and talents, to have that mindset. He doesn't just drop $1 million in your hand. He says, go get behind the plow. Start tilling the field. Go get a bag of seeds. Start seeding the field. Make sure the crop grows. Make sure you get the harvest. Make sure you get the best buy on the harvest. Through our hard work and our hard labors, it's not God just magically making $1 million appear. Amen. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and look at verse 5 here. As you do not know the path of the wind, or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the Maker of all things. Don't try to understand how God does things. Don't try to understand every detail of how it's going to work out. Just know that God has your best interests in mind. God has your future in mind through His will. He has you in mind. God loves to work things out for our benefit, to bring Him glory. We don't always know how God's going to do it. We don't always know how He's going to come through. Sometimes we look, and it looks like a dead-end road. And it looks like there's no way around. We have to stop, or we have to turn around. But God says, no, I have greater plans for you. Push through into the wall, and I will remove the wall. I will show you the rest of the path, the rest of the journey, the rest of your future. It only looks like a dead end to you right now. When you get there, you're going to have a whole new vantage point. You're going to have a whole new angle on life, a whole new inspiration. And I'm going to promote you to do greater things for me than you've done before. I'm going to promote you into a better life than you've ever had before. But you abide by my word. You put your trust in me and me alone. And you do what I've called you to do. Amen. Have you guys ever read the story of the widow who feeds Elijah? Anyone? If you haven't, you can find it in 1 Kings. You might want to use your pen if you want to write this down. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 7 through 24. So Elijah's just spent some time in the desert. The angels were ministering to him. The ravens were bringing him food. God was taking care of Elijah. Eventually, the spring or the brook that he was drinking out of dried up. God said, Elijah, it's time to move. I want you to go to this town that I don't pronounce very well. So I'm not going to say it today. It's the Z town, okay? It's Zarephath or Zarephat or something like that. So he says, go there and I've prepared a widow woman who will take care of you. He goes into the town, finds this widow woman picking up sticks. And the amazing part is they meet right off and he knows it's her. It's not just a random woman picking up sticks. He says, excuse me, can you get me a cup of water? And while you're at it, could you cook me some bread? And she says, well, sir, we're just gathering a few sticks so we can go home. We have just enough meal and oil to prepare one last loaf of bread or one last cake of bread. My son and I, we are going to eat it and then die. She had an expectation. The country is in famine. The country is in a drought. There was no food left to obtain or gather. And even if there was, they were out of money and possessions to sell to get more. So she, in her mind, had the expectation, my son and I are going to prepare our last meal and die. At that point, that was her greatest expectation in life. Elijah says to her, the Lord says, if you will make me this cake, you will return home and make one also for you and your son. And as long as the famine and drought are in this land, your oil jar, your flour jar will never run dry. They will never run out. They will never run empty. He spoke a word into her life. Not one of his words, one of God's words. She put all her faith behind that man's words. Some of your friends and family will put all their faith behind your words. But you have to speak them. She returned home. She made him the cake. And now she's just going on faith thinking, okay, I'm going to go back and I just emptied the jars. When I left home, they were empty. But she went back with an expectation that there was going to be more because of the word of the Lord had been spoken into her life. She returned home. She found the jars filled again. She made some more cakes and she found the jars filled again. And day after day, she made cake after cake after cake. And the jars remained full and plentiful. You have to change your expectations sometime. Sometimes your expectation, your outlook on life is way far from that which God has for your life. A while later, her son becomes ill and dies. Talk about take the wind out of your sail. I just served the man of God. I've been taking care of him for how long now? God has been providing for me, and now he takes my son? Where do you think her expectations just went? We should have just died months ago. You should have just let us die then, and then I wouldn't be suffering now for the loss of my son. She goes and she's kind of upset with Elijah. She's talking to him. You come into my house and now my son's dead. We take care of you and now God's taking my son. Is this the payment? What's going on here? And Elijah says, bring me the boy. He gathers up the boy, takes him to his room. Meets with God. eventually breathes life back into the boy, walks the boy downstairs. Again, her expectation is now, okay, I believe you're a man of God. I believe you're from God. Even though the oil jar and the flour kept continually full every time I emptied them, now that you raised my son from the dead, I'm going to believe you're a man of God. How fickle are we when we're led by our emotions? When we're led by our feelings? Don't be led by your feelings or your emotions. Allow the Word of God to be the anchor that you're fastened to. Allow the Word of God to speak life into the situations you're in. No matter what it looks like in the physical, no matter what it feels like in the internal, what does the Word of God say about your situation today? The Word of God says, He who the Son has set free is free indeed. You have freedom and liberty in Christ Jesus. Take hold of that. Receive that today. Use that as a tool in your life when battles would come against you. What do you lean to? Do you lean to your emotions? I met with a very emotional person this week that needed help. It was very difficult to help because the emotions went from happy to sad to angry to mad to glad. It was like trying to chase down a ping pong ball. But eventually we got this person over their emotions and into rationale. And this is what the Word of the Lord says. Okay, so I know you have emotions. I know it really hurts. I know it really makes you angry. But the Word of God says this about your situation. Know what the Word of God says about your life. Know what you're entitled to as a son and daughter of God. When you get locked in a box, you lose sight of all that. Everyone knows a box is dark, right? If you get trapped in a box, it's very dark. Can everybody agree to that? What can you see in the dark? I spent many a nights riding out of the mountains on horseback when I can't see my hand right here. I have to keep checking, like, can I really not see? And I'm just going, God, I hope He can see. Well, those horses see very well in the dark. When I think about a box, I think about that blackness in the mountains, that darkness. When the clouds are covering the moon and the stars. And just how absolutely dark it is. And the only thing I have to put my trust in is either I can get off and walk and use my flashlight, or I have to completely trust on this horse. I can't see what he or she is seeing. I can't feel what they're feeling with their feet. All I know is I remember riding past in the daylight, and there were big steep drop-offs. There were cliffs and sharp rocks and boulders in the bottom. There were lots of logs, trees. And I can think of, you know, all the bad places in the trail are going through my mind. But I have to put my trust in something I don't know or understand. Something I can't see. It's like that in our lives with God. Sometimes we're just in the dark and we can't see out of our situation. You just say, God, I can't see. All I can do right now is feel. And God, it hurts. God, I'm angry. I'm mad. But God, I trust You. And Your Word says that You will take care of me. Your Word says You will get me home safe and sound. Your Word says it is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. So God, I'm turning to You. Me, it's all lost. I'm in the dark, God. I need You. Do you guys turn to God? Is He the first place you turn? Are your expectations of the will of the Lord, of the Word of the Lord? Or do you expect, I'm from North Idaho, I can get me out of any fix. I can put my own boots on, and I can lace them up too. God has great things in store for us. God has the best health care plan. He has the best retirement plan. He has the best live life now plan. But you've got to play by His rules. You've got to abide by His word, by His direction for our lives. We're going to jump to the woman at the well. You guys remember her? We've been talking about her a little bit during this series. John chapter 4, you can find that story if you want to read it on your own time. This woman had an expectation of her life, how she was going to be treated, how she was going to be received by people, by public. She knew she had been married 5 times. She knew she was living with a man she was not married with. She knew she was a sinner. She knew she was a harlot. Those were expectations she had about herself. She expected to be rejected. She expected for no one to talk to her or like her. She expected to have to go to the well in the heat of the day because she would not be acceptable when everyone else went in the cool of the day. She expected to be lonely. She expected to be hurting. She expected for people to talk down to her. First of all, a Samaritan. Second of all, an unclean woman. Which in their society, she was like, okay, we're going to feed the dogs, but you don't get anything. If the dogs leave a scrap, you can have it, lady. That was her expectation of life. That was the best she could see her life ever becoming. And hopefully, she could stay with this man number 6. Hopefully, that would be the best she could expect. But then one day, a Savior came and met her at the well. Of course, she's not expecting any sort of conversation, any sort of friendliness. And He immediately starts talking to her. He immediately starts changing her expectations. And she just, I don't know what to do. A man talking to me? Someone talking to me? Someone being kind to me? Some of us look at our past and we make our expectations of our future based on our past, on what we've done. Jesus Christ comes and looks at your future. He says, if you'll ask, your past is erased and gone. Today, you were made a new creation. Today, you were made new in Christ Jesus. Now let's start planning for your future. Let's start planning for what lies ahead for you. Let's start changing your expectations of what is in store for you. Do you guys do that for people in your life? There are people all around us every day. Family, friends, co-workers. Just people we meet intermittently around the community that work behind the counters. They have expectations of us. They know how you're going to act, what you're going to say, what you're going to do when you come in. Get out of the box and change it up. Speak a kind word into their life. Take a moment to hear their problems, to hear their story. Leave them a tip that is a lot greater than you would normally leave. Have you ever had a waitress bring you a tip back and say, I think you left too much? Or I think you dropped this on the table? Because you obviously didn't give it to me. Have you ever had that happen? Because I have. If you haven't, you should have it happen. So leave a bigger tip. I can run this all day long and say Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about you. Jesus wants to bless you. If I walk away from a table at a local restaurant or any restaurant for that matter and leave it a mess and a pigsty and don't leave a tip, they never heard Jesus loves you. They never heard there is a God who loves you. There is a Savior who has something better for you in life. And not just in the tip arena. Have you ever been in the grocery store in a hurry, trying to just hurry through and get out? I am all the time because the grocery store's like, okay, this is going to take 2 hours. All I need is milk, eggs, and bread. But taking that time for people in their lives to hear their stories, to hear of their problems, to hear of their issues, and then to apply the Word of God to their situation. And I don't say the Bible says in John 10:10 or John 23:11 or whatever. I don't use the Bible verse, the Bible script, the Bible text. I just use the words. Is that okay? This spring while in bear camp, we were sitting around talking, and one of the guests told one of the other guests, they were pretty good friends, they came as hunting buddies, and he told him something that the other guy didn't really want to hear. He's like, ouch, that kind of hurts. He's like, why'd you say that to me? He goes, well, he was being unsafe with this firearm, to say the least. And he said, well, you need to hear it because you're handling your weapon unsafe. And I just said, you know, the wounds of a friend are better than kisses from an enemy, or better than friendship from an enemy, better than dinner with an enemy. It's a scripture, and they both just stopped and looked at me. I said, wow. That's deep wisdom. Where'd you get that? And then I was able to tell them. I said, well, it's actually a proverb, and it is deep wisdom. It's from King Solomon. He asked for wisdom, and God gave him this. And I was able to share with them, well, how do you know that? Well, I'm a pastor. Oh, really? Well, conversation goes on. I was able to share with them my faith, my testimony. God will open the door for opportunity time and time again. What do you expect to do with that? Just one little phrase opened a whole door of a week long of witnessing to these two gentlemen. And anytime I want to go back to Minnesota, I can go on a free fishing trip. That's a blessing of God, to have a place to stay, to have a lake to go on, to have a boat to go out in, to have an experienced fisherman from the area show me where to go. You're entitled to blessings of God. But we first go forth and do the work. Fruit comes from labor. Right now my garden is crazy. There's vegetables popping up every day that are fresh and ready for harvest. The only problem I have is I have a 6- and 8-year-old that think everything on the plant should be harvested. When God's harvest is ready, He'll tell us it's ready, and we'll pick up the fruit. Amen. So God wants us to have His expectations for our lives, not those that other people would put on us. He wants us to expect what we currently cannot expect. Expect the unexpected. Expect what you never thought possible, because God wants to do that for you. In Genesis chapter 32, we've got Jacob wrestling with God. Jacob's getting ready to go home, return to his homeland, getting ready to meet his brother who he stole the birthright from, who he robbed, who he cheated, who he deceived. His expectation is, Esau still wants to kill me. I robbed from him, stole from him, I deceived him. That's why he was called Jacob. He was a deceiver. He had expectations based on his past, based on his feelings, based on his emotions. But God, you sent me back here. You told me to come back here. Rather than believing what God said, it's going to be okay, I'm sending you because that's where I want you, he believed what he felt in here. He was afraid. He was fearful. We're going to look at a couple verses there. 22 through 29 we're going to read. Picking up at verse 22. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his 2 maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford at the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with man and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. Sometimes we have to get alone with God. Do you get away with God and say, "God, I'm seeking you for this"? Do you ever wrestle with God? Or you know, "God, if you get a chance, I'd like peace in my life. But, you know, just get back to me on it. I'll leave a message." Jacob physically wrestled and struggled, with which some believe is the angel of the Lord. But it says he wrestled with God. He physically struggled and wrestled throughout the night. When I was in school, I was in wrestling. And sometimes at the end of 3 rounds of 2 minutes each, I had exerted so much of my strength it was hard to walk over and shake the other coach's hand. I can't imagine wrestling all night, throughout the night, for hours on end. How physically exerting that would be. How draining. How tiresome. Because I thought in 6 minutes I had given my all during a wrestling match. But Jacob says, "No, God, I want your blessing. I will not let you go. I will not give up. I will not quit." He says, "All right, then, I'm going to put your hip out of socket. You're going to disable one of your legs." He says, "No, God, I'm not letting go. I'm not giving up. I need your blessing on my life. I need you to bless me." Do you guys seek God for a blessing to the point that it impairs you, that it disables you? I can't say I've ever sought Him that fervently. I don't walk with a limp. Jacob walked with a limp the rest of his days, a sign of his struggle with God, but he also walked in the blessing of God the rest of his days. Are you willing to give something up to be under the blessing of God for the rest of your days? Are you willing to get that far out of your box of comfort? Are you willing to put in that much effort, that much time, that much talent, that much ability to experience the blessing of God the rest of your days? Are you willing to do that? Because that's out of the box thinking. God, whatever it takes, I need to be in your will. God, I need to be in your blessing. God, I need to be under your covering. Jacob thought it was worth it. He went on to meet his brother. His brother embraced him, loved him, hugged him. Of course, Jacob's still scared. He's sending presents and gifts of flocks and herds ahead of him, trying to butter his brother up so that he will receive him with favor. Esau had already forgiven him. He already wanted to receive him with favor. Jacob still, Esau invited him to come stay with us, come live with us. Jacob still deceived him again, turned off down his own path. He still had fear inside of him that he just wants to get me close so he can kill me. so He can root me out. Sometimes we go on our emotions. Our emotions are fickle. Our emotions are like a roller coaster. God should be our anchor. God should be where we turn to in our time of need, in our time of trouble. Amen. Don't follow your emotions, your feelings. Get out of the box and seek God with all that He has for you. My wife and I were seeking God at one point in our lives. Well, we still are. At this one point in our lives, we're seeking Him for something. We wanted to do a remodel on our house. We had a mobile home. We lived down in Cul-de-sac at the time. Some of you have heard this story. It was very impactful in my life, so I hope it helps you today. We wanted to replace the carpet. We wanted to do some remodeling inside. Wanted to put new windows throughout the house because it had the old aluminum windows, which let a lot of heat out, as you know, mobile homes do already. So we wanted to replace the windows to really help with heat loss. It was cold in the winter sometimes. So anyway, in the process of moving down here, we were having our house transported as well. And about 6 miles right in there, the guy went off the road a little bit into the bar ditch. Of course, the trailer house in the bar ditch usually isn't a good thing at 50 miles an hour. So there was some damage done to the house. It racked it. It just kind of twisted it and tweaked a bunch of stuff, broke a bunch of stuff, did a bunch of damage. And at the time, I just moved down here to become the youth pastor here at the Life Center. Just starting a new job with a new boss that I only knew by name in the community. So I needed to go to work, make him happy. I needed to be a youth pastor here, start knowing kids in town, getting involved in the community. And now I have a wrecked house that I can't even live in. So we moved in with Kathleen's parents for a while. We moved in with my parents for a while, as long as they could tolerate us. In the meantime, of course, you know how insurance goes. It takes a while. They had to come look at it and reinspect it and do all their stuff. And finally, they give us a check back. So, well, here you go. And it was about half of what a contractor would need to fix the place. So we're like, okay, what do we do? It was like, well, I'm just starting in the construction trade. I don't have any construction knowledge at this time in my life, at least very little. My father-in-law, he helped us out. We began working on the house, so I would go to work early in the morning. I would get home. I'd go to our house and work some more, doing youth ministry in the middle of all that, serving in the church every chance we had. So it literally took all of my free time repairing and building on this house so that we could do it for the money the insurance gave us. Going through it was not fun. It was stressful. It was lots of long, tiring, hard work hours. And it wasn't real exciting. But looking back at it, we were able to do everything to the house that we had asked God to do, and then some. But it took a lot of time and energy on our part. It was very labor intense on our part. Sometimes we seek God to do things in our lives, and He shows up and does it for us, and we're mad at Him. We say, God, why? God, why did you do? I thought we were in your will. I mean, you said come to the Life Center, be youth pastor. We came and did that. And now you jerk our house out from under us. Or the widow that fed Elijah. He said you would keep my oil and flour full, and now you take my son. Sometimes God's just proving His greatness to us. And it takes our ability, our talents, our energies, our work and effort to make those things come complete in our lives. God doesn't wave His magic wand and say, poof, there, your house is done, free of charge. He said, here's the money to be able to do all that you want to do. But you have to go do it. You have to give up your playtime, your free time. We didn't have kids at the time, thank God. Because that would have been really tough. But how many times has God put into your life what you ask Him to do, what you expect to be done, and all He says is, I need you to do a little now. I've given you the ability. I've given you the talent. I've given you the resources. It's all before you. Now it's in your hands to complete the project. God will give you the unexpected. For me, that was very unexpected. Looking back on it, I just praise God and thank Him for what He's done for us. Which that was just another stepping stone to project us to where we're at today. As I look back, or any time I look at my past, I look at what God has done for me. I look at His blessing, His hand on my life. I don't think about the negative things I used to do or did do or shouldn't have done. But if I'm looking to the past, it's to glorify God, to bring praise and honor to God. Thank You, Lord, for being there for me. So if you look at your past, only look at the good things. If there's nothing good in your past, only look to your future. Because God has some unexpected blessings in your path. God has an unexpected future set up for you. Begin seeking Him today for that. Amen? Amen. You guys want to dig out your Connect cards? Of course, general information on front, name, address, phone numbers.